My name is Bob Lampkin. I'm from Dallas, Texas, by way of Michigan about 25 years ago. And this gentleman over here is my good friend Mark Bella, also from Dallas.
By way of Dallas.
By way of Dallas. Mark and I lead in a discipleship ministry at our church in Dallas, Watermark Community Church. There are more handouts in the back corner. Hopefully everybody has one. Pass them around. And if you didn't find one on your chair, there's some more in the back corner. I titled this workshop "Drawing Near to God" from James 4:8, which just says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." And that's always been a verse that's given me great encouragement. And what we're going to talk about this morning is commonly known as the quiet time. If you haven't heard that word before, it's basically just, you know, your devotional time. For me, it's in the morning, but it's the time that you put aside each day, hopefully, to spend a little bit of time alone with God, to spend a little bit of time just before Him, humbly, face to face, trying to get to know Him a little bit better, and trying to allow Him the opportunity, give Him the chance to reveal Himself to you. And I think personally, I know this is true for me, but I believe that the quiet time is I believe it's the key to a victorious and fruitful walk with God. I think that if we're not spending time with God on a regular basis, our chances of really living victoriously in Christ are diminished, if not next to nothing. So today I know that there are a whole range of spiritual walks in this room. Some of you may have never had a quiet time before. Some of you may have been having a quiet time for 40 years on a daily basis. And that's okay. That's okay. If you're one of these people that this is the first time you've ever even heard of a quiet time, I hope that when we're done here today, it'll be something that you want to go away and try. You know, my goal would be for you to wake up tomorrow morning and say, "I'm going to have a quiet time." If you're somebody that's here that knows what a quiet time is and has had quiet time over the years, but maybe aren't real consistent, you know, maybe you're good at it for a week and then life gets in the way and you fall away and you try to get back and maybe you get back a week later and you just struggle with being consistent, then my goal for you today would be just for you to get some encouragement from this session and maybe some ideas that will help you to be more consistent. And then, you know, if you're someone that is strong in this aspect of your walk and you've been walking with God for many years and really enjoying your devotional life, I just pray maybe there's a small idea you'll take away that will add to it, or perhaps a small idea that will allow you to better pass along this idea to another man. So, with those goals in mind, I'd like to pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You that we can all be confident that You are here with us. I know, Father, that You've got a plan for each of us. You've got a reason that You brought each man here. And I know, Father, that You're going to meet us, each of us, right at the point of need, right where we need to hear from You this morning. I'm going to trust You to do that for us, Father. I pray that each man here, Father, will walk away with one small idea, one small thought, something that'll help them grow closer to You. That's our goal, Father. That's our heart's desire, is to know You better and to walk with You closer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I'm gonna structure our time today in four parts. I learned I learned this from, I think it was in Roy Robertson's book, but he said that when you're discipling another, you do it in four steps. Tell him why, show him how, get him started, and keep him going. Okay, so that's what we're going to, that's the way we're going to break this down today. We're going to try to use about 15 minutes for each section. Tell him why, show him how, get him started, and keep him going. So that's our plan for today. So I'm going to start out just telling you why I think, and this is where your handout starts, why I think God wants us to have a strong devotional life, why we need a quiet time. Why do we need to do this? So I'm going to run through these reasons. Number one, I have here to grow in our understanding of God's person. God wants us to know Him. And you can't know anyone without spending time with them. It's absolutely crucial if we're going to allow God to reveal Himself, if He's going to have the opportunity to reveal Himself to us, that we spend time with Him. This verse I have from John 17 is in Jesus' great prayer. And He just prays, He says, eternal life is that they know You. Jesus is saying that that we have eternal life now, and our eternal life is knowing God. And God reveals Himself to us, and that is the whole purpose of our Christian life. We've been reconciled with God that we might know Him. Okay, number two there, to set your heart and mind for a life of devotion to Him. Romans 12:2 is a real familiar verse, I think, to a lot of us. It says, do not conform, but be transformed. I like the kind of the juxtaposition of those words. You know, conform and transform. We don't want to allow ourselves to get squeezed into the mold of this world. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And we're transformed by spending time with God, spending time in His Word. Each and every day we get into the Word, and know it helps me immensely. Hebrews 12:2 is another one. Let us focus our eyes on Jesus. So I want to get in the Word each day. I want to spend time with God each day, that I can set my sights on Jesus and I can get focused and allow Him to change my mind. Number three there, to learn the ways of Jesus. And I've pulled out Luke 9:23. What I like about Luke 9:23, it says, if anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. I have to each and every day get out of bed and decide to follow Jesus. It doesn't just happen, right? I have to get up and I have to intentionally say, I'm going to spend some time with God, and I'm going to allow Him to point me in the direction that I need to go. I have to deny myself. You know, I have to empty myself in order that He might fill me and give me what I need for that day. It brings to mind John 3:30. I must decrease that He might increase. That happens by me getting up every morning and putting everything else aside for just a little while, and letting God say, this is where I need You today. This is what I want for You today. Number four says, to grow closer to God. This one, it might look to you like it overlaps number one a little bit, but it's actually a little bit different, I think. This is when He says here, I want you to know Me more than I want burnt offerings. I think this goes to the heart. This is God saying, I want your heart. It's not just that I want you to know Me. I want your heart. I want your devotion. I want you devoted to Me. So in order for Me to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, which is what I want to be, I need to get up in the morning and devote my heart, give my heart to God. In that morning time. I need to do that every day. Okay, number five. This one, Number five, this one surprised me. This one I learned in one of the discipleship classes that we lead in now, actually in the second class. This is something that God wants. This isn't just something that I need or something that, you know, I'm doing to check off a box or that, you know, is just a habit. This is something God desires. He desires for me to get up in the morning and spend time with Him. I mean, think about that. The God of the universe is waiting for me to wake up and go and sit down with Him. And He's, you know, it's like breaks His heart when I don't show up. I mean, those of you that have children, you probably can relate to this a lot. I mean, I've got a daughter. She's pretty grown now, but when she was little, you know, you come home from work and she comes running and jumps into your arms and your heart leaps. And that's what, to me, that's the closest picture I have of the way I think God feels when we get up and we come to Him. It's a pretty amazing verse. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. When I first started having a quiet time, I don't really do this anymore, but when I first started doing this, I'd set my alarm, I'd get up at 5:30 in the morning, I'd wake up, and my first thought was, Jesus is sitting at my kitchen table, and He's waiting for me. And if you don't think that'll get your feet on the floor, if you believe that, if you believe Jesus is sitting there waiting for you, believe me, you'll get up and you'll go and sit down and you'll crack the book. And it's a powerful tool. He's waiting for you and He's faithful. He's faithful. He's there. Number six is one that I really came across just as I was preparing for this, listening to some of the old messages. If any of you aren't familiar with discipleshiplibrary.com, it's a great place to go and listen to some. They tape all these. They put them up on the web. You can go listen to them all. I was listening to Gene Warr, who spoke on this topic actually quite a few times. And this makes a lot of sense to me. He says that we need to have a daily quiet time. We need to have a daily devotional time with God to receive His provision. You know, life can be hard. Life can definitely be hard. And we need to get with God on a daily basis that He might refill our tank. He might refresh us. He provides. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." That's a verse we throw out for provision, but the provision is Jesus. Okay? The provision is Jesus. Anything that you all do in ministry is an overflow of the input that you have. Your output will never exceed your input. Jesus, you have to be full of Him. And you do that by getting with Him every day. Get with Him. Let Him fill your tank. Number seven is maybe one of my favorites. I just wrote it to remind ourselves of the gospel. Have you heard it said you should preach the gospel to yourself every day? Preach the gospel to yourself every day. What do I mean by that? All I mean by that is, and I try to do this during my quiet time, but just remember that Jesus died on the cross for you. That He very specifically died for me. And that my life is in response to that. My life is in response to that idea that I understand that He died for me. And I think Paul in 1 Corinthians says that I want to remind you of the gospel I preach to you. Preach the gospel to yourself every day. 8, set your hearts and minds on the eternal. You know, we're aliens and strangers in this world. This isn't our home. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that every day. I've got a purpose for being here, and it's not about being an architect in Dallas or even the other things that I do. It's about, for me, it's two things. It comes down to evangelism and discipleship. I'm either introducing someone to Jesus Christ or helping someone else grow you know, in their knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I need to remind myself, that's my purpose every morning. Grow in holiness. Spending time with God each day gives the Holy Spirit an opportunity to convict you where you need conviction. And this verse in Daniel is talking about the enemy. You know, it says the enemy will corrupt those, but we who know God will firmly resist him. And it's closed with 10 there, to renew our strength. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Again, that kind of goes back to filling my tank. But every morning, if you get to where this is a consistent habit in your life, it's amazing. But when you miss it, you know it. The rest of your day just seems out of sync. We were talking about this last night. It's something that becomes a part of you, and it's something that is just so important. I want to read these quotes. I don't normally like to just read notes, but I think these quotes are so awesome that they bear listening to. And these are from some men much greater than me. The first, from The Pursuit of Holiness by Jerry Bridges. So we see that we must discipline our lives for a regular, healthy diet of the Word of God. It takes discipline. We need a planned time each day for reading or studying the Bible. Every Christian who makes progress in holiness is a person who had disciplined his life so he spends regular time in the Bible. There simply is no other way. Satan will battle us at this point. He will try to persuade us that we are too sleepy in the morning, too busy during the day, and too tired at night. It seems there's never a suitable time for the Word of God. This means we must discipline ourselves to provide this time in our daily schedules. And then this one from Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby is great. Each day I have an appointment with God. I often wonder what happens when the God who loves me comes to meet me there. How does he feel when he asks, Henry, where are you? Bob, where are you? I'm not there. I found this to be true in my own walk with the Lord. I keep that time alone with God not in order to have a relationship, but because I have a relationship. Because I have that love relationship with the Lord, I want to meet with Him in my quiet time. I want to spend time there. Time with Him enriches and deepens the relationship I have with Him. And then E.M. Bounds, this is the power of prayer.
Power through prayer.
The men who have most fully illustrated Christ in their character and have most powerfully affected the world for Him have been men who spent so much time with God as to make it a notable feature of their lives. To be little with God is to be little for God. So, I know we went through those quickly, but if you spend, you know, hopefully at least one of those maybe caught your eye, maybe later go back and look at those verses. Think about how important it is to spend some time with God. Mark's going to share the next part. How do we do it? What does it look like?
What does it look like? First off, let me just say I'm really privileged to be here with you men and get to share some thoughts. I'm just blessed to see this room packed full of men who are eager and desiring to grow in their personal relationship with the Lord. To me, it's just an essential aspect of our faith. It's one of the basics. It's a basic spiritual discipline to spend a daily consistent time with the Lord if you are truly seeking to have a personal relationship with Him. And how wonderful to stop and think that the God of the universe, like Bob was saying, the all-powerful, all-knowing, almighty, timeless God who breathed all of this into existence, wants to have a relationship with me. So am I going to dedicate myself to nurturing that relationship? Am I going to be disciplined to that idea? You bet. While we're transitioning here a little bit, how are we on temperature? Do we need to crank the AC? It was a little cool when we walked in here, but it's feeling a tad bit warm now since we're kind of crowded. Do we want to open the windows? Okay, so maybe that'll help us a little bit here. What Bob had asked me to share in this portion of our time is to just give you an illustration of what my personal quiet time looks like. And as I was just saying, you know, if I'm really going to be consistent with that, if I'm going to be dedicated to the idea of spending a daily quiet time with the Lord, and I do that in the morning, but my quiet time doesn't begin in the morning. My quiet time begins the night before. And by that, what I mean is I've got all my materials prepared. I've got them set. I've got a particular spot in mind where I'm going to be that following morning. For me personally, I enjoy a cup of coffee while I'm having my quiet time. So I've got my coffee maker set. It goes off 5 a.m. Coffee cup sitting right there by it. I get up in the morning, I pour myself a cup of coffee, and I'm ready to go. But that doesn't happen if I don't think about that, prepare for that, and devote myself to that the night before. So again, it's the idea of, am I going to make it a priority in my life to spend time with Him, nurturing that relationship, or not? And I am. Now, the two essential aspects, this is on your handout as well, that we talk about when we're developing a relationship with God, I think of the vertical dimension on the wheel, and that's the Word and prayer. God speaks to us through His Word, and He gives us the privilege of communicating with Him through prayer. And so my quiet time always begins with a prayer. And for me personally, what I like to do is I maintain what I call a most wanted list, or a top 10, 15, however many folks I'm praying for at the time. These are folks who I'm not sure about where they are in terms of their salvation, where they are in terms of a relationship with the Lord. They're folks that God has put on my heart. And I begin with a short prayer, praying for them. And it's just a quick prayer, asking God to touch them, stir their hearts, move them in some way that they might come to know Him, surrender to Him as their Lord and Savior. But it's all according to His perfect plan and for His glory. Followed by a short prayer of, God, just speak to me this morning through Your Word. Show me one thing from Your Word this morning that might bring me again into a deeper relationship with You, and that I might find some application in my life in order to serve and honor You. So what does that look like? Like I said, you know, the preparation begins the night before. But for me personally, and granted we've got folks in here, I suspect, who have maybe never had a quiet time. We've got folks in here who've maybe had a consistent quiet time for years, for decades, perhaps. This is my personal illustration for what mine looks like. Yours may be much different, and that's perfectly fine. The idea is what works for you and what gets you consistently in God's Word every day. And in His Word in a meaningful way every day. So for me, I have my Bible. I've got my journal, and my journal is nothing more than just a spiral binder that you pick up at any, you know, office supply or school supply. My pen, and I've got those things laid out and ready to go on my desk in my office every morning. So come in, cup of coffee in hand, sit down, it's all right there before me, and pray and open up. I follow a Bible reading plan. And that's another aspect of it that you probably want to consider. It's not, I don't believe, an absolute necessity to have a set reading plan, but I highly recommend it. Because it's one more thing that's set, that you know is part of your consistent plan and approach each day. So for me, I know where it is I'm going to be with that reading that morning. Open up my binder. Give it a date, and I write out which particular reading passage I'm on for that day. Next line down, title. Next line down, key verse. Next line down, application. Just those three key points. Title, key verse, application. Then I read through the passage that is a part of my plan for that day. As I'm reading through, it's just almost always a consistent pattern that some particular verse will pop. It just pops. God writes it on my heart. He puts it on me. And I'll stop and pray at that point over that particular verse. Continue reading the passage. I'll then go back to my binder, write out whatever that particular key verse was, and then I'll write some application for my life from that particular passage or just that one key verse. And that's an important key for me, is I don't want to just read God's Word for the sake of reading it. I want to read it because I feel something in my heart. He's applied this Word. He's given me this guide, His truth, His Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in His righteousness, so that I might be prepared for every good work He has for me for that day. That's the application for me that I find from that verse that morning. Write up my application, and then I write another little line for prayer, and I pray over the passage. And it's just amazing the way God's truth will flow through my heart, from my heart through my pen onto that paper. Writing out that prayer and then praying it back. Now, like we said before, you know, it's God's Word, the two essential aspects, His Word and that communication and prayer. He's feeding me through His Word. I'm deepening that relationship with Him by praying it back and pausing and just being still and being quiet and hearing Him come back to me in prayer. It's an amazingly powerful experience. Yes, sir?
How much do you read?
I'm just curious. How much do I read? It depends on what the reading plan is I'm following. Now, right now, I'm working through the book of Isaiah, and we're reading a chapter a day. But that varies. Last year, the reading plan was through the four Gospels, and it wasn't always necessarily a chapter, sometimes a little more than a chapter. So it just varies. It depends on the reading plan. That's a good question. How much am I reading each time? So that's what my quiet time looks like. Again, yours may be significantly different. That's just to give you an idea, kind of a flavor of what it looks like if you've not really experienced that before or seen it before. Turn it back to Bob.
You there? Okay, good. All right, now some of you might have already had a quiet time today, and I'm guessing that if you have, you won't mind having another one. Because I know you were up early this morning. So what we're going to do, you'll see there we've given you a little section of Romans 12, chapter 12. We're going to take 15 minutes to go ahead and read that chapter, and then we've got the next page there as a place for you to select a verse and do a little bit of journaling. And so we're going to take 15 minutes to do that. Before we do that, I want to say another short prayer for us. Mark mentioned that he always starts his quiet time with prayer and just asks God to show him something through the Word. I've found over the few years a few verses that help me with that. So what I normally do is I'll go to these three verses just in the front of my journal. And so I want to share these verses with you, and then we'll say a short prayer, and then we're going to take 15 minutes and give this a try. So the first one is Psalm 119, verse 18. And it just says, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law." And then Luke 24:45 says, "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scripture." And Psalm 119, verse 147 says, "I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words." So, Father, I just ask that you speak to us now through this chapter of Romans, this great, great chapter. In Romans, prior to this, Paul has laid out the gospel. He's written the great theology of our belief. And it culminates now, Father, in chapter 12, and it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies. He says, therefore, because this is how we are to respond to the gospel. So, Father, I just ask that in the next few minutes you speak to us through this passage. Just say to each man here what he needs to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. There's kind of a classic little navigator pamphlet on quiet time. It's called 7 Minutes with God. And I don't know. 7 minutes has never worked for me. It always seems to take a little bit longer. Somebody in the back shared a page from their, kind of a blank page from their journal. Can I ask, was this something you printed or did you buy these?
No, sir, I was given that.
You were given these?
I'm a member of my men's discipleship
contract. Okay. This follows along pretty close with what we described. It has a place to put the verse reference and to title it and put a date. There's a short synopsis, a place to write out the verse, a little interpretation, and a little application. But one thing I like about it, even more specifically, though, it says, pray, read, preview, observe, interpret, apply, pray again. So pray at the start, pray at the end. And then in the last one, it says, tell someone. And what we've done so far is we've told you why God believes, God wants you to do this. We've kind of described how. Maybe we've gotten you started if you weren't in the habit of doing this. And then the fourth one is keep him going. Right? Tell him why, show him how, get him started, keep him going. So how do you, once you've started this, how do you keep going? How do you keep at it? Well, one of the ways that we have found is very helpful is to share it. Is to share it. Part of our classes where we lead, the first part of every class in our small group, we share from our quiet time. You know, each person has the opportunity to share something that God has said to them over the past week since the last time we met. You know, people flip back through their journal and they'll find something. And we'll encourage them, you know, to share the verse and the reference and then to actually read from their journal. Because we don't want to hear kind of their interpretation of what God said to them in that moment. We want to hear what God said. And what's amazing about it, when you share with someone, that oftentimes that word that you got from God may have been for someone else in the group. Someone else that needed to hear that. It wasn't just necessarily for you in that moment. It was meant for you to share with another person. And that is, I think, a ministry of the Holy Spirit that is extremely encouraging in this discipline. You know, that's the kind of thing that I had a quiet time and I shared it with someone, and all of a sudden it was very meaningful to them. And that's something that'll help you. That's something that will encourage you and help you keep going. If you have a group that you're involved in, a small group or an accountability partner, share with that group, with that partner. That accountability, that other person that comes to you once a week or however often and says, you know, how's your quiet time? How's your quiet time been? What's God saying to you this past week? That'll help. You know, just knowing that person's going to ask you about it will help you keep going.
You need to be honest with your accountability partner, though.
You do need to be honest with your accountability partner.
It's okay when you know, there was 2 or 3 days you didn't have quiet time because of the things you put first.
That's right.
You know, if something happens, tell them, you know, there's two, a couple days that I didn't have quiet time.
That's right.
Pray about it.
Pray about it.
Accountability a whole lot.
And you're right on the next step here. What happens?
I didn't read it.
What happens when, you know, when life gets in the way? What happens when, you know, you gotta be somewhere at 6:30 in the morning, and getting up at 4:30 in the morning just doesn't work because maybe you didn't go to bed till midnight or whatever. Again, this isn't about checking off a box. It is about starting and maintaining a good habit, but there is grace. And you know, if you miss a day or two, you just like falling off the horse, you get back up on the horse. It's about persevering. It's about enduring. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon, right? So this is something we want to get in this habit, and we want to do this for the rest of our lives.
Add one thing to that too, because I talked about my particular quiet time and the way I've structured it. What so easily gets in the way is being here, being out of town. It's different. But for me, knowing that that's a potential obstacle, I prepare for that the night before. And I set up, okay, my routine is going to look a little bit different tomorrow morning than it normally does. How am I going to account for that? And it makes that change in my routine run a little bit more smoothly when I know that that's a potential obstacle and I address that before the morning time comes.
What I'd like to do now is take a few minutes and just ask if there's anybody that would like to share what they maybe have written just in the last few minutes when we did this little exercise. Anybody would like to share what God spoke to them? Sure, I'm going to come down here so the mic will pick you up, all right?
Sure.
Sure. Go up and stand up so everybody can hear you.
Sure.
This is David.
David, I'm from Tyler, Texas. For the title, I put the gifts from God, because that's pretty much what it was talking about, is the gifts from God. The verse that spoke to me the most was verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. My thoughts were pretty much, we all are given gifts from God. Through prayer and conviction, we all will be shown our gifts if we truly desire to know. That's what I put as my thoughts.
Truly desire. Thank you, David.
Correct. Yes, sir.
Anybody else like to share what you wrote? Bobby.
I titled mine Daniel in the Possum Bin.
All right.
Romans 12:12, and it says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, sharing with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And the practice hospitality is what really got me. I lead a ministry of about 45 people, and we're a really tight-knit group of folks. And because it's a ministry to fourth and fifth graders, I like to receive leaders from third grade, and I like to push them on to sixth grade. And so we're constantly revolving, is what I'm trying to say. But I try and create an atmosphere of camaraderie and shared mission with these folks. When new people come in, I just assume that they're going to make their way and enjoy being around our group because our group is tight-knit. And on our way home from Possum Kingdom, we had a retreat, and this was a couple of weeks ago, and a guy said, well, I didn't feel very loved at this retreat, and I'm not sure I want to be a part of the ministry. No one reached out to me. And immediately my heart went to, who are you? And how could you possibly not with these people who all love each other and whatnot? And what it came down for me is that I didn't practice hospitality. I didn't make it a point to make sure that those who were new to our group, who may be intimidated by the friendships that we have already created, and it really flipped for me just today in this 15 minutes that you've given me, in that my heart was just really bound up in some resentment towards the comments that he had made in our car ride home, and I need to go back to that guy and ask for his forgiveness and work on being a better leader, not reprimanding leaders that didn't reach out to him, reprimanding myself to make the atmosphere better for those who are new. So thank you. I think it's going to help the ministry that I do now.
Thank you. Thank you, Bobby. That's great. Who else? Yes, sir.
I'd like to piggyback on his comments with, could you get the dog out? That could be a good Satan boy to distract.
Come on, buddy.
I want to piggyback on what he just said with Romans 12:3. And the title I've got here is Resist High-Mindedness.
Okay.
I think we all suffer from that. So, by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. And my thoughts were, how do I consider His grace? His grace is sufficient for me. By His grace, He redeemed me, He saved me, He washed away my sins. The Creator of the universe loves me enough to pay attention to what is going on in my life, my challenges, my victories, my hopes, my disappointments. With His grace in mind, how can I elevate myself above other people? How can I do that? All people everywhere face the same temptations and similar challenges. So in light of His grace, I am humbled.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wait, what a sermon.
That's great, isn't it?
Mine was
yes, sir.
That same verse.
Okay.
And I just basically said, don't think less of myself, just think of myself less often.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And,
great.
You know, because always in that battle of less than, better than, you know, and that slide from John's last night about pride and that just obsession with self.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just that quote, don't think of myself. Don't think less of myself, but just think of myself less often.
Great, thank you. Anyone else want to share?
I got a thought.
All right, sir.
We're feeding ourselves with positive input.
Exactly.
My tradition is to rock the boat.
Hmm.
And I'm very familiar with passage, but what hit me, and I don't know why God prompts me this way, but what hit me was the last part about how you treat your enemy with hospitality. Mm-hmm. But the boat rock is, in doing this, you're heaping burning coals on his head, and that sounds a little hypocritical for motivation.
Mm-hmm.
That's revenge.
And yet
that's not the spirit you should be doing it.
If your heart is out in a thought process for revenge, yes it is. But God's word, I do believe, is saying that when you exude kindness to your enemies, the Holy Spirit now has a chance to work on your enemy's mind and his conscience. It's not that you're doing it to make them feel bad. That's not right.
I think you need to rethink
what the Bible's saying about the burning coal, just to give them a conscience.
Well, that's why I brought it up, because it was it didn't fit with everything else, and I needed some input. Thank you.
So, God bless.
Great example of why sharing is so beneficial, why God gives us that opportunity, that privilege. Yes, sir.
I'd like for you to, if you would, expound when you said you wake up every morning and you think about Jesus being in the kitchen. Waiting. Along that same line, you're talking about something that's motivating you to grow that relationship. Could you draw a parallel for the young guys and maybe even some of the old guys, how marriage parallels this, and how if you don't have this relationship going, your earthly relationships aren't going to fare too well if you don't have that same kind of motivation?
Yeah, so the thought that comes to my mind, I don't know if this is where you're headed necessarily, but and I didn't come up with this. I've heard this taught as well. But, you know, my wife needs to know that she's always going to be number two. And she's okay with that because she knows who I've put first. And she knows that when I get out of line, she doesn't have to deal with it. He's going to deal with it. He's going to take care of me for her. And you're absolutely right that my desire for relationship with Christ that fills me and overflows me allows me to love her in an Ephesians 5:25 way. You know, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So I do. I give myself up for my wife every day because of that verse. And you think about the way that God loves. He loves forever. And when it says that we're to love her that way, then I know what my goal is to love her forever. One of the gentlemen in the back mentioned desire, and that's kind of the last note I got here, and kind of where we just were as well. Seek God first. I love Jeremiah 9:23. It's just such a great promise. It says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." God wants all our devotion. He wants us to seek Him with all our heart. And then I want to read this quote from Crazy Love by Francis Chan. Great book if y'all haven't read it. But it says, "Most Christians have been taught in church or by their parents to set aside a daily time for prayer and scripture reading. It's what we're supposed to do. And so for a long time, it's what I valiantly attempted. When I didn't, I felt guilty." We're not meeting a habit. And I'm hoping that this becomes a habit for you, but we're not meeting a habit. We're meeting a person. We're meeting the person of Jesus Christ. It says, "Over time, I realized that when we love God, we naturally run to Him frequently and zealously. Jesus didn't command that we have a regular time with Him each day. Rather, He tells us to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. He called this the first and greatest commandment. The results are intimate prayer, study of His Word. Our motivation changes from guilt to love. This is how God longs for us to respond to His extravagant, unending love. Not with a cursory quiet time plagued by guilt, but with true love expressed through our lives." I said there were 4 points that we were going to hit on. Tell Him why, show Him how, get Him started, keep Him going. But there's a secret fifth one. Fifth one is pass it on. Pass it on. If you're finding strength in your devotion, then it's time for you to share that with another man. Right? 2 Timothy 2:2, "The things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses and trust to reliable men will also be qualified to teach others." So that's the secret number 5. Pass it on. So we've got time now for questions. Any more discussion that y'all would like to bring up? Anything you'd like to add? Anything in your devotional time or quiet time maybe that we didn't mention that's been helpful to you that might help someone else? Yes, sir, Bill.
You said your wife recognizes that she's number 2.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so the thought that came through my mind when you mentioned that was, you give up your wife to be with God. And that's my problem. I love my wife.
Mm-hmm.
So
If you love your wife, you'll go to the source of the greatest love.
Well,
you'll know how to love her.
That's a decent... Well, we're pretty well... We're at 56 years right now. We've had a lot of practice at it. And 1 Corinthians 13 gives you a good leg up on it, and that's what keeps me from losing my head. But nevertheless, after some 56 years, there's a very close bond there, and I have a great deal of difficulty in giving her up to go to God.
Well, I'll share something very interesting. I listened to a talk by Leroy Ames, and he said there is no second. He said if you have the right respect on God, there might be a 7,329th place, but there is no second place, there is no third place. God is so far in the lead, there is no close second, there is no third, that the Lord is out front by such a long shot. And it was very humbling to hear that from him.
It's a good perspective. Definitely good perspective. Yes, sir.
I fly with American Airlines, and I flew with a captain on this last trip. And his marriage is falling apart. He's been separated for 4 years. And I said, "Where do you place your wife?" He says, "She's number one." I says, "Who is number one on your heart?" who resides in your heart? Who dwells in your heart? He says, my wife. Mm-hmm. Ideology can happen even with your wife.
Idolatry.
Right.
Who sits on that throne in your heart?
Right. And ultimately, like we said, that's better for her. It's better for her that Christ is first in my heart.
Engage, I think, enough in the quiet time. I think 7 minutes with God is real good on that. It's using the acronym, the accent. And it's real easy to pull your quiet time as reading the Word of God, which is tremendous. But the acronym ACTS is you know, what I found when I started praying that is we tend to dwell in the supplication, the S. But I found the more that I dwell in the adoration, the natural response of adoration, of drawing close to the holy, is confession because I see where I'm at. And the thanksgiving. And so spending that time in those three especially, adoration, confession, and thanksgiving, and reviewing the day that has occurred and praying in the day that is coming, seeing what God's done in the previous day, and thanksgiving, drawing close to God and the Word of God and His presence, allowing Him to reveal the areas in your life. If our prayers aren't consumed with confession, there's a high chance that you aren't drawing close to God in the quiet time. The closer you draw close to God, you will be overcome with His beauty, His majesty, His perfection, His love, and His grace, which should bring a greater amount of confession as we see our lives that we're lacking. So it's almost an oxymoron that the person that isn't highly in need and confession is probably, because we can draw close to the Word, which is absolutely incredible, but at the same time, that's something we can control and manipulate. So we want to try to keep that balance in prayer. And a fun measure of that is to look at how our prayer life is. And I will confess that mine naturally leads towards the supplication. That's the easiest, and it's easy to be there. And I want to dwell, and that's where we want to be in our relationships. You know, we don't enjoy friendships that are asking. We enjoy friendships that involve whole personality, and that's the same way with God.
Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And I heard a speaker say once he adds another S, which I thought was pretty interesting. He adds silence. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, and silence.